This is Carolyn Crabtree. I am here at the McDowell House and Apothecary with Anna Ingram, who works here. The date is October 21st, 2009, and the time is 1:30. Anna, thank you so much for doing this interview for us. I'll ask you a little bit about yourself first. How long have you been working here at the McDowell House?
A little bit over 10 years.
And what is your job here?
Well, it's kind of a mixture of things. I'm called administrative assistant, but I do bill paying, I do inventory input, and a program called Pass Perfect on the computer, and tours when I'm needed, so
jack of all trades. I have interviewed several of people who work here, and they all tell me that mm-hmm. that's part of the job, is doing various things. How long have you, let me ask you, did you come to the McDowell House from another job?
No, I retired from Farmers Bank in 1999, the end of June, and I started here in the middle of September in that same year.
Right. How did you learn to do the recording for the interview? I mean, the inventory.
Well, we had some college students working on it, and I kind of picked up a few things from them, and I helped them when they were doing the inventory and doing the input on computer, and I just kind of picked it up, and after their job was finished, then I started doing it on my own.
Tell me a little bit about some of the artifacts you have here and how you keep track of what is on loan versus what belongs to you here at the McDowell House.
Well, first of all, we try very hard not to accept things on loan. I think anything that might have been accepted, and I understand there are very few things in that category, it's very hard to keep track of things when you have them on loan, and our Pass Perfect program does that. But as far as I know, we don't have anything on loan.
Everything is owned by the McDowell House Corporation?
If there is, there's just a couple of things.
Mm-hmm. How is it that people find out about the McDowell House and bring things to you? Are most of them family members?
Most of the people are family members. Some of our board members bring things. And then just people in the community, every once in a while, will have someone that will think of McDowell House when they have something they think is old enough to give to us.
So how many things here would you say actually belonged to the McDowell House versus the things that were of the period and are representative of what belonged to the McDowell House? Do you have any idea?
Are you referring to things that were here originally?
Yes, things that would have belonged to the McDowell House.
Things that have been given back to us through family members, and that would not be very much compared to the things that McDowell House actually bought when they refurnished the house in the 1930s when it was restored. Most of the furnishings that we got then were found by the Women's Alliance. The Doctors of Kentucky had the house restored, and then they turned to their wives and asked them to find things that represented the period when the McDowells would have lived here. So most of our things do date back to then.
Okay. Are there things still in the house that were bought by these doctors' wives?
A lot of the stuff that we do have does belong back to that period when they refurnished the house.
What are some of the things that have been donated to the house by the families?
Since I've been here, we've had Sarah's pianoforte given back to us by a family member. We've had Dr. McDowell's miniature ivory painting. We've had, I'm having a hard time remembering.
That's all right. You've had some of the dishes, I believe.
Some of the dishes have come. We had some in the beginning, but some of Dr. McDowell's china has been given back to us. Plus, we have a picture up in the children's room of Florence the Beautiful, which was Dr. McDowell's granddaughter, that has come to us since I've been here too.
Okay. Well, was that the name of the painting?
That was the name of the girl, Florence the Beautiful. And by the way, we have a little book. I've done inventory on most of the books here in the house that had not been done before. And I did find a little book that was given to Florence by her teacher for perfect attendance or something of that sort when she was in school. So I thought that was really neat that we had her picture and the little book that was given to her.
Now, where was she in school, do you know?
I don't know. I know that she was born at Cambus Kenneth. Her father was Dr. McDowell's only surviving son. And I know that they moved to St. Louis when she was very young. So I would assume, unless she was schooled at home, that she went to school in St. Louis.
Okay. I've often wondered where these girls did go to school, because they seem to be very well educated, the Shelby girls as well. So I've always wanted to ask and find out where these girls possibly went to school. And there, it seems unusual that girls of that period would have been as well educated as some of these.
And I don't know the answer to that question. Alberta would probably know, because I've not had time to dig into
the history.
She
doesn't know either.
She doesn't know either. Well, we're told that
so
a lot.
I'm going to keep asking.
Maybe Carol knows.
Well, what is your favorite part of the job that you do?
My favorite part. I always enjoyed giving tours and meeting people from different parts of the United States, even other countries when they come here. It kind of goes back to when I worked at the bank for 25 years and I did new accounts and that kind of thing. I always enjoyed meeting the people and listening to their stories and how they interpret things that we tell them and that sort of thing here at the house.
What percentage would you say, or do you know, would be doctors or in the medical field?
That come to see us?
They come here.
I'm not sure I know the answer to that question. A lot of times people will say, I'm in nursing, or I'm a doctor, or I'm in pharmacy, or something of that sort. But I would say, just guessing, I'd say maybe half, not quite half, of the people that come are interested in medicine in some form.
Are you still under the protection of the medical association here in Kentucky?
They still do some funding for us, but as far as owning the house like they did back in the early beginning, they don't own it anymore. They just give us a certain amount of funding every year.
Who does own the house?
It is a 501c3 organization, nonprofit, and it's governed by a board of directors.
So it's owned by an association?
Mm-hmm.
What is involved in keeping, protecting the artifacts in the house?
Well, there's several things. We have to be careful about the light, not have too much light in the rooms. We do guided tours only. We don't allow self-guided, because the way we're set up, there's no protection from anyone picking things up or whatever as they go through the house. Some places like Shaker Village and everything, you can only go to the doorway and look in, but we do guided tours, which gives people upfront and personal tour. They feel like they're really part of it, I think, by doing it that way. We have to be careful about the heat and humidity. We have a security system. when we're not here, that security system protects the house and the furnishings.
Now, I know you do a lot of school tours.
Yes.
How do you manage to arrange so that you don't have too many children in here at the same time, that sort of thing?
We usually don't have more than 50 children at a time, and that allows us to set them up in groups of 10 or 12 so that we're not overly crowded in the room. Usually there is a teacher or an escort with those children. We don't allow backpacks, food or drink, anything like that in the house. So we try to monitor what's going on and have small groups so we can kind of keep an eye on everything.
Now, I know that my own granddaughter enjoyed her tour so much that she is very partial to the Mandel House even today. Why do you think something that is so historic and so adult is so appealing to children as it seems to be?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it before. I really don't know. I know I myself was taken by the house when I first came, and just the experience of being here and hearing the story and actually feeling like you're walking on the floors where Dr. McDowell walked, and you're just personally connected with him, I think.
Do you feel like this is something that's missing in children in to some extent today? That they are looking for a connection to the past, to have a history of themselves and their community in any way?
I think we're all that way, children and adults. Because you know yourself doing genealogy and that sort of thing, how into genealogy a lot of people are these days, even children.
And we seem so disconnected. To me, it seems like, until you do get into an experience like this with the history of the house and the people who lived here before, your basic fundraising, and do you have anything to do with that, or is that done by other people to keep this going?
That's done mainly by the board members and Carol, our director. My part in that would be addressing envelopes and putting stickers on envelopes and folding and getting things ready to go to the post office. And then I also take care of the deposits when hopefully those funds do come in. So I do have a little bit to play in that part, but as far as thinking of people to send requests to and that sort of thing, that's mainly the board and Carol take care of that.
Now, what is involved in the administrative assistant part of your job? I mean, I know this is part of it, but what else is involved? Do you do payroll and taxes?
I do taxes, I pay bills. Carol okays the bills and then I pay them. That's basically it.
So you do give the checks to the other people who work here and things like that. Okay. You also perform this same function to some extent of taking care of artifacts down at the Forkland Community Center, and you've been working down there. How has working here helped you with what you're doing down there? I know you're volunteering down there.
Well, really, what I'm doing down there is basically helping other people in the museum record things. I don't know the history behind a lot of the things they acquire at the Forkland Museum, so Shirley or Wayne kind of dictate to me and I write down what they say. we've come up with a numbering system for our artifacts down there that's completely different from what I do here. So
Oh, really?
We just kind of came up with our own thing down there. The Past Perfect program that I'm using here allows you to put all kinds of information into it, and you can sort it back by the artifact itself or the donor, or there's all kinds of ways of sorting it. Down there so far at Forkland, about the only thing we've done is just list them and give them a number. So we don't have a way to sort yet. We're going to have to work on that and do something different with the stuff.
Well, I have put that into an Excel file, which allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible for us to do it. But we just need to get the rest of it in there, don't we?
Oh, we've got lots of things recorded already.
So
we just don't have them in the computer yet.
Now, this building was the home of Dr. McDowell and his wife. But he also owned a farm called Campus Kenneth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the home property or anything like that? How is that functioning right now?
Campus Kenneth is in private hands. Right now it's owned by Mr. and Mrs. Michael Burns, and it's a completely separate entity from McDowell House itself. Of course, when Dr. McDowell lived here, that was part of his property, like you said. And at one point, I think it was left so that we could have acquired it, but I don't think we could have afforded to keep that property and keep it up like other occupants and owners have through the years.
That property is under the care, is under the National Trust though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still, what does that mean exactly, being a part of the National Trust as far as protecting that property?
You know, I'm not really sure. I don't know that much about it.
I know that we have been able to take tours out there in the past and show them the building where he had his medical office out there and things like that, even though it's under private property.
I think you pretty much have to get permission, though. I don't think
you can't go into the house, but mm-hmm. you can go onto the property, I think.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that part of it at all.
Wasn't it under the ownership of Cecil Doolin Wallace?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Did you know her?
I knew her slightly. My husband's father called her cousin Cecil Dooley. So I don't know if there was a distant relationship or not. I never knew that for sure, but he called her cousin.
Would you like to tell us, do you know enough about it, or would you like to tell us about her as far as a preservationist?
I know that she was very active in preserving things. I know that she also was interested in the Perryville community. As far as what she actually did, I don't know that much about it.
I'll have to find out about her sometime.
Yeah. And it could be that Alberta can tell you a little bit more about her.
Really? Now, each Christmas you have an open house here. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us what happens when you have your open houses?
Well, what we mainly do is the garden club decorates the house every Christmas, very early December or late November, and they have a green tea. Usually just before or just after their green tea, we have an open house for our docents and friends who have helped us through the years, just different acquaintances and people that we want to thank for visiting us and things that they've done for us through the years. So the board usually meets earlier in the day, and then we have a complete open house with all kinds of refreshments and food for everybody.
How many board members do you actually have?
I think about 20, 22.
And who are most of these doctors?
A lot of them are doctors. We do have other people who are just interested in preservation.
About the preservation of the house, when was it done and who did most of the preservation in the house?
Most of the preservation was done in the 1930s when the KMA, or the Doctors of Kentucky, bought the house and had it restored. Before they bought the house, well, let's go back to the beginning. Dr. McDowell died in 1830. He had already written a will. In his will, he wanted his widow to sell the house if anything happened to him. So she did. She sold it and moved to Cambus Kenneth, where she could be more self-sufficient with the farm and all that. And this house belonged to several people during the next 100 years, a Methodist minister, a Center College person. And somewhere along the line, it got in disrepair and it was turned into a boarding house. It was in this area of town that was not like it was when Dr. McDowell lived here. It was, I'm searching for the word and I'm not sure what word to use for it. But anyway.
Depressed, maybe?
Pardon?
Depressed.
Depressed area. Mm-hmm. The doctors of Kentucky had become interested in the house because Dr. McDowell did so much for the medical field. They wanted to preserve it and turn it into a museum. And when they got around to doing that, it was a boarding house. It had 12 families living in it.
12 families.
And it was really in bad shape. So they used the WPA to do the restoration. And that was when it was turned into a museum and has been ever since.
Okay. That was in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of renovations have been done to the house since then?
I'm not sure what was done before I came, but since I have come to the house, we've had geothermal heating and air conditioning put in. I know back in like the late 1950s, the apothecary shop was restored, and I'm not sure what all was involved then. I know that it was in bad shape because that part of the house had been used as a barber shop and a saloon and different things, and it was in terrible shape. From the 1930s to the 1950s, I guess it really deteriorated. So they had to take it apart piece by piece and put it back together. So it's reconstructed, whereas the house is pretty much like it was when Dr. McDowell lived here. The geothermal that they put in about 3 or 4 years ago has helped with the consistent heating and air conditioning. It's helped with our humidity problems. We had lots of water in the basement before then, and they redid the drainage of the backyard into the sewer system so that we don't have that much water in the basement anymore. That was really causing a problem for the foundation of the house. And also it wasn't helping with the humidity problems either.
Now you've also had a new roof put on, I believe?
Pardon?
Didn't you have a new roof put on the place too?
Not yet. We're working on monies to do a new roof right now. In fact, about a month ago, there was a fundraiser at Cambus Kenneth to earn monies or to acquire monies for a new roof, which they hope to do pretty soon. They're looking into possibility of copper or wood shingles. Wood shingles is what we have right now.
Do you have any kind of pictures or artifact or documents that would tell you what they did when they first built the house so that you go back to that to see how to make it authentic the way it was in the beginning?
We do have a listing of some materials when they added on to the house. When the house was first built, the back part of the house. That was in the 1790s, and I'm not sure if anything exists then. And I'm not real sure that there's anything that tells us exactly what Dr. McDowell did to the front part of the house. I know Donald Hill did some historic structures reports back like in the 60s or 70s. I'm not sure when that was, but I know we do have those documents. And I don't know, I've not had time to read to see if there's any information about the very beginning or not. Carol and Alberta probably have had more time to look into that than I have.
Now, and you're keeping up with the inventory of the artifacts in the building. Have you found anything that's very unusual or different than you expected to find? Or do you have any little nooks and crannies in the place that all of a sudden you find some interesting things?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because yes, I did find the original guest book when the museum was opened in the 1930s. I think it was 1939, and at that time it was a state institution then, because it was done by the KMA, or the Kentucky Medical Association. So I did find the first original guest book, and I've been able to track that all the way from the opening to the present.
Really?
We have all the guest books.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All of them?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I can take you right to the very place they are. No, nobody.
Where did you find them?
I found the original guest book over in the book cupboard in the very bottom, in the back, where there were no other books. They were wrapped in a dark plastic, and nobody knew they were there.
Oh, my goodness.
Or at least nobody presently here knew they were there. So that was exciting to me to find that.
What else have you found? Didn't you find this logbook, or did someone bring that to you?
No, this book that's on the desk was found in the house sometime during the restoration. I'm not sure when, but it was the book you're referring to is the 1819-1820 book that we think belonged to someone who had a general store. It's handwritten with quill pen and ink, and it's the way they kept track of their customers back then, not with computers we do now, but with a ledger where everything is actually written down, the name of the customer, what they bought, how much they paid for it, and the date they bought it. So it's
and
very
And it goes back to what year?
1819.
So is, who's in the book that we would know of?
Oh, I could read you a whole list.
Give us a few.
Well, I can go to it and read you some right now, but we see the McDowells, and we see Barbie, and we see all kinds of Aikens and Crutchfields, and it just goes on and on and on. It's amazing to see all the people that we know from historical things we've read that are actually listed in this book.
Have you allowed, since I love genealogy so much, have you allowed anyone to come in and get the names from that and put them in a list so that people could know that their people were here at that time period?
As far as I know, since I've been here, nothing like that's happened. I started a list myself on the computer, but there were so many other things to do, I kind of let it slide.
Would you allow someone to do that?
Pardon?
Would you allow someone?
I'm not sure. You'd have to get permission from Carol.
Okay, so these things are possible, but we just need to know what to do. How do you preserve the portraits that you have in the building? You have quite a few. Do you do anything to, in particular, to protect those or keep them clean? Do you have people look at them for you to see if they have any problems that need to be taken care of?
As far as I know, since I've been here, nothing's been done, but from doing inventory, I have been aware of some records where certain portraits were cleaned or restored. but that was a long, long time ago. I think probably a lot of the things that we have in the house continue because of mainly not doing anything to them, like trying to keep the light situation down, not touching them. We don't do a whole lot like waxing and all that. We just mainly dust, and that's basically it. So I think sometimes neglect preserves things maybe a little bit better than constant attention.
That's probably true. Well, I was trying to think. I think it was stopped. Okay, now we'll go. I know that your gift shop is small, and is there any thought to ever making it any bigger or making it more convenient for people to purchase items in there?
My past 10 years experience tells me that people are not buying as many gifts as they used to. What we mainly try to do is keep books on history about the house, about Dr. McDowell, some few artifacts like quill pens and cards like they used to play with when they had card games, and just candle holders, that kind of thing that actually seems to relate to the house. I don't think there's any part of the house that we could convert into a gift shop, because the way the house is set up, it's like the McDowells live here, mm-hmm. and where the gift shop is now was his office, Dr. McDowell's office, from 1820 until he died in 1830, and at some point they would really like to turn that back into a doctor's office. At that point, I don't know what we'd do with a gift shop or where we'd even put it unless we acquired another building where we could actually have more space. But I think right now there are too many things like the new roof and things like that that we need to do. That's probably not on the top of our list.
Do you keep a genealogy of the family here?
Yes. Alberta is our genealogist, and she pretty much takes care of any kind of genealogy questions. We do have a book, McDowell's in America, that was written by a McDowell descendant, and we order those books from her, and we do sell those in the gift shop.
Do you make a genealogy available, or do you just suggest that they buy those books?
We do have a short list of genealogy. It's like 10 or 12 pages, but mainly we suggest that they buy the book if they're really into it. Mm-hmm. And Alberta will answer questions that she can from the book, but I think she generally tells them that they could find more information in McDowell's in America.
Okay. What about reunions? Reunions. Family members come back here for reunions and things
they
like that?
They have in the past. We haven't had a family reunion for a long time. We've had a couple since I've been here. I don't think they're as well attended as they were at one time. I don't know if lifestyles make it so that people are too busy to come. I know we've lost a lot of McDowell descendants through the years, and there's not as many to come as were at one time. But it's really interesting that periodically we'll have a tour and they'll say, "I'm a McDowell descendant." So they're still there and they come for visits, but actually a family reunion, I think it's pretty hard to get everybody together at one time with their busy lifestyle.
And when they come here for reunions, can they use the house, or do they have to have their meetings at another location?
It would depend on how many people, first of all, because we wouldn't be geared to set up for very many people. We have had some meetings in other locations. We've had little mini seminars here. Maybe they gather here for a short meal like early breakfast or tea in the afternoon or something like that, but mainly if there's very many, they would meet somewhere else.
Do you know of very many McDowell descendants that live in this area at all?
I know a few.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
What about Shelby's? Do you know, and mm-hmm. Hart's? Do you know of people that are still
mm-hmm. There's
related?
A couple that live around that are Shelby descendants also.
All right, I think that probably covers what I needed to talk to you about. And I appreciate your doing this for me. I don't want to keep you from your work all day. Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you. It did.